created the world and the universe and everything that lives and breathes. You made it happen with just words. You have no beginning and you have no ending. I think it's amazing. It's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. 'Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. 'Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. 'Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you. It's all about you. 'Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand. 'Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever.
Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everybody and good morning to you. We are going to be doing something that I have found that a lot of people really don't know how to serve the Most High. They just don't know. And we're running around doing things that, you know, we think are right. But, you know, this is like being in a relationship. And the person tells you what they want, and you either do it or you don't. You either make them happy or you don't. And so, you know, that's in a carnal sense, in a carnal way. But I want to go through what the Most High says that he wants from us. And each person, you know, people try to define these things for themselves, usually either end up halfway doing what the Most High wants, kind of doing what the Most High wants, or not doing it at all, or doing it with their whole heart. Okay, because when you understand that he just doesn't accept just anything, and he's not a respecter of person, so, you know, none of us are, if we're not doing right by him, he definitely is not a respecter of us. And even if we are doing right, he's not a respecter of us. He will have a, how do I say this? We will be in good relationship with him, but he knows that we're fickle. And so I want to look at, you know, Israel has always been the example that the Most High has used for us. And so we have to look back at what our forefathers did and what the Most High told them. Always have to go back to the root. And so we're going to do that on this morning, and we're going to take our time and walk through it, some of the things that the Most High said to do. And I pray that it helps someone in their walk with the Most High. Because when you understand what somebody wants and then you do it, then you've done all that you can do. If they're not happy with that, then there's nothing more you can do. And so the Most High knows this, and he has told us exactly what he wants. All we got to do is commit to doing it. So this is for our prosperity. I always have to come back to this and remind myself so that I stay on the straight and the narrow. Because it's easy to go off the farm. It's easy to go off the road. It's easy to get caught up in all these different things. It's easy to establish our own standard. And so if you can read it from the Word of the Most High, take it at face value and just do it. Just do it. Okay? All right. So with that being said, we're going to do our statement of faith. Whatever I do. Our statement of faith. And let us go forward this morning. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father, we just glorify you, Yah, and we lift you up. We lift you up, and we extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We bow down before thee, and we worship thee. We worship thee, Father, and we are obedient to your word, Father. We hear your voice and we obey. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. By our obedience, Father, we show that we love you. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise on this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Understand that, let's go forth this morning. I am in a certain spirit on this morning, and so I need to be mindful of even my own self. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. Said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and we are turning from our wicked ways. Hear now our prayers, Father. Deliver us from this captivity. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Our scripture for this morning. Let us go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 4. And he wrote on tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Instructions, which I spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and Yah gave them unto me. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, our sounding of the shofar. Sounding of the shofar.
Thank you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's time to get into formation. We gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters. We gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you. Them preachers, they got it confused. Come out of, come out of, come out of her. Cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name. We're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order. Cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. Lace up them boots. We gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise. Open your eyes to the most high in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name. Seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together. There's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat.
All right, amen, amen, amen. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. On this morning, we are looking at how does Yah want us to serve him? We don't get to make it up. We don't get to add to it or take away from it. Yah himself has told us what he requires and what he requires out of Israel. And if we're claiming to be Israel, if we want to be part of Israel, then this is what we have to do. The Most High doesn't mince words. He doesn't say, you know, I kind of like this and I kind of like that, or I kind of want this and I kind of want that. That's not his way. So let's start in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1. At that time, Yah said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I, Yah, will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of siddim wood, and hewed two tables of stone, like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in my hand. And he, Yah, wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Instructions, which I spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Now, Moses is telling this to the people, and he's telling, you know, the people what the Most High had him to do up on the mount and what the Most High did up on the mount. And as I said in Exodus chapter 19, Yah came down and spoke to the people. He gave the people the Ten Commandments. He gave the people his laws first. And he did it so that, and he came in such a way that they might fear him. Because Yah knows that it's out of our fear that we will serve him and that we will learn to love him if we understand. So he talks to the people. Now, when the scripture says nobody has ever heard his voice, then you got to understand that in light of what he's saying. Nobody has understood him. They have not understood his voice. Has not understood what he has said. So even the children of Israel saw him, about 70 of them, described him. So we got to understand that when the Most High says something, we got to understand in the context in which he is saying it. Verse 4 again, and he, Yah, wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments or the 10 instructions, which Yah spake unto you in the, which Yah spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, the day that he came down and told the people to wash yourself, wash your clothes, don't have any intimate relationships, don't be intimate with your spouse, I need you to be clean before me, and gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be as Yah commanded me. And the children of Israel took their journey from Beeroth of the children of Jachin to Masara, there Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar, son, ministered in the priest's office in his stead, in his place. From this they journeyed unto Gedodah, and from Gedodah to Jotba, a land of rivers of water. You know, I found that strange when I looked up, I was looking up these names to see what they meant, because a lot of times there's a message even in the names. And I was kind of confounded. Jotba actually means desert. That's what they said means, is desert. But the scriptures are saying that it's a land of rivers and water. And so, you know, just Jewish stuff. At that time, Yah separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yah, to stand before Yah, to minister unto
Gracia.
Him. Shalom, Sister LaGracia.
Shalom, Sister LaGracia.
Is now in the conference.
Okay, let me make sure I mute that so I can get that over the echo.
Echo. All right. From thence they journeyed to Gogada, and from Gogada to Jotbath, a land of rivers and waters. At that time, Yah separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of Yah, to stand before Yah, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore, Levi has no part nor inheritance with his brethren. Yah is his inheritance, according as Yah thy Elohim promised him. And I stayed in the mount according to the first time. Moses was up in the mountain 40 days from the law the first time. The second time he goes up into the mountain, he stays another 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights. And Yah hearkened unto me at the time also. And Yah would not destroy thee. And Yah said unto me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? Underline that require of you. If it's required, it's not optional. And if it's required, then the Most High has already told you and told us he wants you to do it with your whole heart. He wants you to do it with everything you have. You know, don't just kind of throw an effort at it and think that it's acceptable to him. Well, I tried. Well, yeah, but you failed. Yah doesn't do that. He doesn't, you know, take failure. If you disobey him, he doesn't take to it kindly. So we're gonna read these things and want to look at, you know, what he requires in some depth so that we have no doubt about what he wants. And it's not Brother Miles saying it. We're going to let the Most High tell us what he wants. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah first. Not love him first, fear him first. So let's look at these scriptures where Yah tells us to fear him. Because it's out of this that we have to walk with him. So let me get these first. Okay. Go to Genesis chapter 4, the book of Genesis chapter 4, and let's get verse 18, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 18. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God, every man of the Most High understands that their service to him is to fear him first. Even the scripture says, the fear of Elohim is the beginning of all wisdom. And maybe we don't know how to fear him. Maybe we don't want to fear him. Maybe we're looking for an Elohim that we want to be our friend, that we want to love us. Maybe we are so starved for love that, you know, we want an Elohim that loves us. And he does love us, but he wants us to fear him first and foremost. And if we're not doing that, you're not going to walk before him the way that he wants you to walk before him. You're not going to reverence him. You're going to think that, hey, you know, what he says is a suggestion. He's saying, you know, I suggest that you do this. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. This is what I require of you. First, to fear me. Every man and woman of the Most High that love him know that they have to fear him and truly fear him, truly fear transgressing him, transgressing against his word, disobeying him. Because what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And because, you know, whenever we are disobedient, if judgment doesn't come right away, then we, you know, think like we got away with something. But we didn't get away with anything. The Most High just said, hey, I just put it on your register. I just put it on your book. Part of your work. You were disobedient. Because you're going to judge every person according to their work. Our works are not just what we do with our hands or what we build or what we say. It is first and foremost to him, did you walk according to what I said? Did you fear me? Did you reference me? I require that. It's not an option. So Joseph knows that he has to fear the Most High. Go to Exodus chapter 18. The book of Exodus chapter 18. And let's get verse 21. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear Elohim, men of truth, hating covetousness over them. When we are in a position of leadership, the leaders that the Most High wants of us are people who fear him. People of truth that hate lies, that hate deception. They're not going to tell you whatever you want to hear. This is what he wants. Got to understand to fear him. Not going to live in situations or put themselves in situations that compromise the word of the Most High. Not going to lead a double life, have a double standard. In front of people that they think are holy, they're being holy. And when they don't think somebody holy around, they're being like whoever they're with. Comfortable if you're doing wrong around a person that fears Elohim. So this is who he wants to be the rulers. If the rulers don't fear him, how are they going to teach the people? How are they going to enforce his laws? They won't. They'll be like, oh, that's you. As for me, I fear the Most High. But, you know, you do you. No, the Most High wants those that he puts in charge to enforce his laws, enforce his commandments, not let you feel comfortable walking before him any kind of way. We are to be accountable one to another. Let's go to Psalms chapter 66, the book of Psalms chapter 66. Psalms 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear Elohim. and I will declare what he has done for my soul. When you fear the Most High, he cleanses you. He sets you on a straight path. He orders your steps. That's what he does for you. He blesses you. He don't give you everything you want. He gives you everything that is within his will. See, our prayers should not be to move Elohim to our position. Our prayers should be to move ourselves to his position. What is your will? What do you want? How do you want me to behave in this situation? What do you want me to say? To walk before him in righteousness. He won't let you willfully sin. He'll convict you. You know you're not supposed to do that before you do it. Get rid of that thought. Rebuke that temptation. I know it's in you. I know you like that, but you know you can't walk that way. He will help you to walk straight before him. He'll put such a feeling of dread on you. If you do this, it is not going to fare well for you. He will put that on you. And you have to heed that, because if you have a feeling of dread that when you do something and you feel dreadful about it, you feel like, hey, he's not going to be pleased with this, and then you go ahead and do it, you will start to become desensitized to breaking this off. Do it, it will just be easier and easier till it's hard to feel. That feeling of dread. But we have to not let ourselves be taken in it, because the more we do it, the more we are disobedient, the easier it is to be disobedient. But one of the things that people don't understand is that one time being disobedient, Yah can leave you. Especially if you are among the rulers of his people. But he uses them as an example because he deals with them directly. Look at Saul. Because Saul didn't take credit for his disobedience, he blamed it on the people. Yah left him. Most I said, do this, he didn't do it. And then when he was brought before the man of Yah, the prophet, and the prophet speaks for the Most High and represents the Most High, he made an excuse. And Yah left him, never to return to him, and had him killed. That's not the Elohim we want to see. That's not the Elohim we want to meet. We always want the Most High to deliver us out of things, even in our disobedience. No, those that fear him know that's not the way he operates. And it's what he wants that counts, not what we want. See, that's why he said David was a man after his own heart. David did something, a lot of things that were grievous. Took another man's wife, had that man killed, had her to, you know, trying to get him to go down and sleep with his wife so that he could, make him think that the child that his wife was going to have was his. God said, you gave the nation to me to talk bad about me by your actions. But David said, I am a sinner. I have sinned in this thing. He didn't, try to blame Bathsheba, most of the time, I just invited her over here, and then she just got out of her clothes. So David forced that situation, and he had to take credit for it, and he did. The Most High don't want us, making excuses for our sin. He doesn't want that. He doesn't accept that. So Saul made an excuse. David didn't. And the Most High says, you know what? Because you didn't, I'm not going to kill you. But he killed Saul and his son. I don't want your seed in the earth. So we got to fear him because he does terrible things. And, we want the blessings, but we don't fear the terrible things. Oh, he won't do that. He knows that I'm trying. Yes, he will. And if we do something so grievous, he'll wipe our seed out of the earth. Now, I don't want nothing like you in the earth. But we got, that's what he did to Saul. Your family is not going to ever sit on the throne again. And your sons are not going to have offspring. He does those things. Let's continue here. So to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let's get verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Elohim, which fear before him. Because, see, we look at people doing wickedness. They might obtain things that we want, or we want Yah to bless us a certain way, or we want certain lifestyles. And we see sinners get it. But then we don't have the same thing. Maybe we are struggling with some things. We're struggling paying bills. We're struggling, you know, getting food, or we're struggling in relationships. But we see people who are doing wickedness look like they're being blessed. You got to look toward the end game, because Yah will destroy all the wicked. It's the righteous that he will save. It's the righteous that he will resurrect to eternal life in his kingdom at peace with him. It's the wicked that he's going to resurrect to eternal life and throw into the lake. You got to look at the end game. So what might look like, you know, Yah doesn't care, or he, you know, he's the wicked are being blessed and we are struggling. Some of us can't handle blessings. If we get blessed, we'll turn it into a curse. If we were to receive $1 million, we'll go out and do $1 million worth of wickedness. Or maybe $990,000 of wickedness and $100 or $1,000 of good. We couldn't receive the blessing. So Yah says, I can't give you that. But walk in my ways. In the end, it shall be better for you. But I want these things now. Then you want those things more than you want a relationship, a right relationship with the Most High. No matter what he wants and how he wants it, we're to serve him that way. We're to do what he wants, not what we want. We know Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. But this is our whole duty. I mean, this verse right here just says it all. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Of the whole matter, fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Without reading all of that, all that Solomon went through, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, sinned before the Most High. Solomon trying to please all those women, set up altars to their Elohim in Jerusalem, in the house of the Most High. Solomon partied hard. He slept around. The wisest man. And sinned against the Most High. And he did all of this because he was searching. He was searching. And what he finally came to the conclusion of, fear Elohim and keep his commandments. The whole duty of man. Now, and if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, then you'll see that that's what Solomon is saying. I did everything. I took pleasure in all these things in the world. Anything that you could imagine, Solomon did it. Only to come back to the conclusion that you need to fear Elohim and keep his commandments. This is what it comes down to. Can't break it down any better than that. And so we need to understand ourselves. If we read this book, then we got to come to the same conclusion he came to. Surely he was much wiser than us, and the Most High allowed him to do those things so that he could come to this conclusion. So that anybody else that got those same thoughts, look at what Solomon did. And he's supposed to be the wisest man. And he had to come back to the conclusion, I need to fear the Most High and keep his commandments. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, free work into judgment. Now, when we look at this word judgment in the Hebrew, I want to define this so that we understand that judgment is your case, the scene of the crime, when you perform the act, when you, what you did, what was the intent of your heart, and what the penalty is for it, for the transgression. So let's look at this. I'm just going to read these definitions for this word judgment. And judgment, mishpat, from the Strong's H8199. Properly, a verdict. I'm going to announce a verdict, but you got to have something to make a verdict or to announce a verdict off of. You just don't pull it out of thin air. And the Most High doesn't just pull stuff out of thin air. A verdict, favorable or unfavorable, pronounced judiciously. Judiciously has to do with the law. Especially a sentence or a formal decree by a human participant or by divine law. Individual or collective, including, so when we have a jury, we have a collective, and the jury is hearing the facts, and they're going to come up with a judgment. Do they believe that you are guilty or that you are innocent? So the judgment includes the act, the place, the suit, the crime, and the penalty. Abstractly, it means justice, including a participant's right or privilege, statutory or customary, or even a style, adversary, a ceremony, a charge, a crime, a custom, a desert, or death, determination, discretion, disposing, due, fashion, to be judged, or judgment. So it's a bringing the crime, bringing the act that you did, whether it was a crime or not, the place that you did it, the suit that's against you, and the penalty for that suit or that crime or that reward, because the judgment can be favorable or unfavorable. But the Most High is going to judge everyone of what they did with every secret thing that we don't, you know, things that we do that we didn't tell nobody. We thought we got away with it. We didn't get away with it. He's going to judge those things that were in secret, whether they be good or whether they be evil. So remember, he tells you to go into your closet, and he tells you to ask for things in secret, and he tells you to do certain things in secret. Don't do things for people and then, you know, blab about it and brag about it. Those would be, if you did what he said to do and you're doing good to help your brother or your sister or the stranger or the fatherless or the widow, then you're going to write those things down as good. And then those things that you did in secret that were wicked, that were evil, when you didn't think, you know, you were slipping and sliding in the night, when you slipped, you know, you went over to old girl's house and you know that you weren't supposed to be with her, or she knew she wasn't supposed to be with you, and you're trying to hide it, thinking nobody, you know, hey, nobody know what we're doing. We're just friends. Most time says, oh, when you took that stuff, you thought, you know, you got away with it and nobody was looking. when you told that lie and you knew it was a lie, but the person took it as the truth? When you went to deceive somebody to get what you wanted? He said, those secret things, I wrote those down too. You didn't get away with anything. And I'm going to judge you for those things. Go to Revelation 20. Start in verse 11. Just want to get the meat of this for what we're talking about, judgment and what he's going to judge. Starting in verse 11, Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, the dead, everybody that had ever lived. Saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life is the book that the Most High records your name in that book. If you have walked before him and done what he said to do, your name is in the book of life. The other books that he's talking about, the books were opened, those are the work. The book that he's had written on you in your life. And every person that has ever lived. Which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their work, the book of your work, and of every person's work. And so if you thought you did something in secret, there's an angel watching. Wrote it down. Yeah, they were disobedient on this day, at this time, in this place. And for doing that, this is the reward or this is the penalty. It's written. And he's going to pull out the book. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their work. So if our work deserved death, that's what we're going to get. If our work got our name stricken from the Lamb's Book of Life, then we're going to get thrown into the lake. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. See your work. And the Most High said, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. And he expects for you to be just that. He knows that we have an intellect, and we have to choose to do wrong. Something that we know is wrong, we have to choose to do it. He knows there's going to be things that we are ignorant of, that you didn't know you weren't supposed to be doing, or that you were supposed to be doing. He knows this. He says, in the day that you find those things out, then either start doing them or stop doing them, because you were acting in ignorance. But those things that you know, he says, there ain't no excuse for that. If you know it's wrong, there ain't no excuse for that, because you knew it was wrong. So we got to understand, we got to fear him first and walk out of that fear. I don't want to transgress against the Most High, because I know he does terrible things. And he's going to do terrible things to all those that disobey him. So continue in this. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Fear him. When you look up these verses about fearing him, there's only like 10 verses that say, fear him. And then when he says, fear me, because somebody's saying to fear him, that's somebody's witness that you're supposed to fear Elohim. But then when the Most High himself says it, then you got about 4 or 9 more verses for that. The verses that say love me are about half that many. He would rather you fear him. But then if you do what he says do, even if you don't love him, if you don't learn to love him, at least you haven't transgressed against him. And when he gives you eternal life in the kingdom, I bet you'll love him then. That's why marriage was never based on love. You want to love your partner, you want to learn to love them, but it was never, the basis of marriage was never based upon love, upon entering into a relationship and being obedient to the rules of that relationship. At least that's the way it used to be. Today, everybody, you know, I want to be loved, I want to be treated with respect, I want to be somebody to be sensual with me, to be, you know, to care about me. And that's, it should be about those things, but that's not the primary reason. Okay, let's go back. Start back in verse 12. But to fear Yah thy Elohim, Deuteronomy chapter 10, this is what Yah requires. Fear Yah thy Elohim. Secondly, to walk in all his ways, not some of his ways, all his ways. In order to do that, you've got to learn his ways. That he loves truth. He hates liars. He loves righteousness, those that keep the law, his commandments. So he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Messiah said, how do you say you love me and do not what I say? You don't keep my commandments. What do you want? To love the stranger. Not find a reason to be over the stranger. Because we were strangers at one time in Egypt. You should understand, you know, but it's as we have gotten away from, as our forefathers were delivered out of Egypt, every generation that passed and they got their own land, then they forgot what it meant to be a stranger. They forgot what it meant to be up under the lash. They became cruel. They became like their quote-unquote master. And pride is something the Most High hates. He hates it with a passion. To love him is the third thing. Fear me and walk in my way. If you do that, you will learn to love him. You will learn the beauty of his commandments and keeping them. You'll learn the beauty of his judgment. The Most High says, you know what? If there's sin in the camp, you don't justify the sin. You get rid of the cause of the sin. So the biggest thing that the Most High, that Israel has done is go about to establish our own righteousness over his righteousness. Most High, you said that if this happens, this is what was to happen. This is what we were to do. But we don't like what you want us to do. Most High says, I want you to wipe sin out of the camp. If you got people sleeping around, if you got somebody that wants to sleep around, they can't sleep around by themselves, so they're going to try to influence somebody else. Somebody's to sleep with them. So now you got two. And you know most people are not monogamous. They can have a boyfriend, a husband, or two or three other men, and the men can have a girlfriend, a wife, and some sidekicks over here. Not monogamous. So now you got this spirit spreading through the camp and all kind of people sleeping around with all kind of people. And that spirit just spreads. Because somebody's trying to be good. It ain't that they don't have those desires. It ain't like their body is saying, hey, you know, my body is shut down. My mind is shut down. My emotions are shut down. That ain't the deal. But when temptation comes, then enough pressure will bust any pipe. You don't want the pipe to burst? Get rid of the temptation. Get rid of the temptation, he says, get rid of it by destroying it out the camp. If you got disobedient children, the Most High didn't say take them to say, put them in time out. If they are so bad that they don't obey you anymore, they won't get up and go to work, they want to, fluff off of you, they don't want to help around, they don't want to contribute at all. They just want to do what they want to do, get high, party, and not be responsible. He said, hey, I got something for that. Kill them. Get that out of the camp. Get that out of the city. That is my judgment. No, we don't want to do that. And the reason most of the time we don't want to do it is because we were guilty of it in some form or fashion. And because we have sinned, then we don't want to extract the judgments of the Most High. But we have to walk in his way. Not in some of them, not with those that we disagree with. That seems right. Well, I can't do that. And I'm talking to Israel right now. Because the truth of the matter is, we didn't walk in his ways. We have always tried. But he chose us. And because he chose us, he's going to save a remnant of us. For his word's sake, for his name's sake. As he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32. The book of Jeremiah chapter 32. And I want us to hear this. Because our forefathers have never done what the Most High wanted done. And he forgave us. Forgave them over and over and over again. Until he didn't. And it's like when we were in the wilderness and the Most High sent the 10 spies, spy it out. And 10 of them came back with a negative report. And the people believed the negative report. And then they wanted to, when the Most High got angry at them, and said, y'all get back by the Red Sea, the way that I brought you in. Then they realized that they had sinned, that they had done wrong. And they want to run up after they have sinned and want to take Ai. Take the city. Most I said, I'm not with you. And most say, hey, y'all don't go over there. Don't be trying to do good now. And they went over there, and some of them got killed. So let's look at this thing. Jeremiah chapter 32, starting in verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yah in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. We're going all the way back to Babylon, all the way back to confusion. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, surrounded Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. So King Nebuchadnezzar comes and surrounds the city, besieges it in jail. But he made the king's house the jail. That's a statement in and of itself. You know what, your palace? I'm going to make it the prison. I'm going to make it the jailhouse. That's where I'm going to keep the prisoner, including the prophet of the Most High. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy? Now, Zedekiah has thrown Jeremiah in jail, and Nebuchadnezzar is surrounding the city. Thus saith Yah, behold, I will give the city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. So, King Zedekiah, you're going to meet the king of Babylon, and you're going to talk with him face to face and mouth to mouth. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith Yah. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prophesy. You shall not prosper. And Jeremiah said, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anatot, for the right of the redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of Yah, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anatot, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of Yah. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anatot, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witness and weighed him the money in the balance. So I took the evidence of the purchase. Now, really, you know, he's going according to the law, because the prophet can't do otherwise. And if it wasn't his for an inheritance, he couldn't buy it, because in the Jubilee, he has to give it back. That was the law. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, and in the presence of the witness of the subscribe, in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed to the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Barak before them, saying, thus saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, take these evidence, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. Most I says, put this up so that it doesn't get lost, that it don't burn up in a fire, that it shall be around. Keep it safe. For thus saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. I'm getting ready to take y'all out of the land, but I want you to put this up in a hidden place. I want you to put this up in a hidden place, because I'm going to give the land back, and this land shall be possessed again. So want it to be known that this land belongs to Jeremiah. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto Yah, saying, and Yah Elohim, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands in recompense, and repays the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great and the mighty Elohim, Yah of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. This is how Yah judges. See your ways and according to the fruits of your doing, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs, and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to thy fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice. This is Israel. They didn't obey his voice. Neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Our forefathers did nothing. Didn't keep the ways of the Most High, just as we are in this land. Nothing has changed but the date. Walk in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this heap evil to come upon them. Behold, the mount, they are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword and of famine and of the pestilence, which thou hast spoken is come to pass. And behold, thou seest. So the Most High said, if you don't do these things, these curses shall come upon you. Now they're seeing, because they didn't walk in his ways, these curses on them. And thou hast said unto me, O Yah Elohim, buy thee the field for money and take witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of Yah unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am Yah, the Elohim of all flesh, Jew and Gentile. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore saith Yah, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the house, upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, worshiping other gods, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods, to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth, from the time of bringing them out of Israel, even in Egypt. The Most High said our forefathers were worshiping other gods. He still delivered them out of Egypt because we were his people. But we've been doing Evite from our childhood. And he's talking about as a nation, as a people. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the works of their hands, saith Yah. For this city has been to me as a provocation of my anger. This city, the people, the city itself didn't do anything. It's the people that live in the city. Provoke me to anger. And my fury, and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Now this is Jerusalem. Israel didn't always own Jerusalem. Israel inherited Jerusalem. When Melchizedek walked in Jerusalem, the people weren't walking according to the rules of the Most High. That's why he said, verse 31 again, for this city has been to me as a provocation of my anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day. Israel did not build Jerusalem. The Canaanites built Jerusalem. That I should remove it from before my face, evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. I've had you to come in and take this city to possess it. You didn't build it, because the Most High promised to Israel is that you're going to inhabit cities that you didn't build. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. But when he gave it to us, we just did evil. Because all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everybody, from the top to the bottom. And they have turned me into, and they have turned unto me the back. We're not doing what you say do. We're not obeying your voice. We're not going to fear you. We'll fear the Canaanite God. We'll fear Baal and Molech. And not the faith, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction, but they set their abominations in the house. I remember I told you Solomon, this is not anything new. Solomon put up altars to Baal in the house of the Most High. Other kings did this. Called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal. The Baal altars used to be on the tops of mountains. It would be in the highest place in the city. Because people want to feel like the higher they were, the closer they were to the Most High. Which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now, therefore, thus saith Yah, the Elohim of Israel, concerning this city, whereof you say, it shall be delivered into the hands of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by famine, and by pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in my anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. So the inhabitants currently there, the Most High is going to have destroyed. He says, and scattered. He says, but I'm going to bring them back again, a remnant. And he tells us it's only a remnant in other places. And I will give them one heart and one way. There is not, you can't be double-minded toward the Most High. You can't have, it's my way and your way. And it's different thoughts of, you know, this is how we should serve the Most High. Because we're to have one heart. We're to know to fear him and to keep his commandments and to walk in all his ways. One way, his ways. That they may fear me forever. He didn't say love me forever. That they may fear me forever. For the good of them. Because if you don't fear him, trust, it ain't going to turn out good for us. If we don't learn to fear him, it's not going to turn out good for us. And of their children after them. Because we're supposed to teach our children to fear the Most High. Teach our children to walk in all his ways. Teach our children to love him. It's us that's required to do that. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Now, this is something the Most High is going to have to make Israel do. Fear him. For whatever the reason, we don't want to fear him. We want an Elohim that is defined by our standards. We want to make up an Elohim in our mind. This is how Elohim should be. This is how he should behave. I chose you, now I'm going to have to make you do what I want you to do. At one time, the Most High said, you know what? You are sick from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Why do I beat you? Why do I chastise you? You just get worked. We have always been this way. So we should never be proud of the behavior of our forefathers. And if we're not walking better than them, we should not think anything of ourselves at all. So he says that we may fear him forever. Yet I will rejoice over them to good, and I will plant them in the land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. The Most High don't halfway do anything. Now, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy, chapter 10. I think somebody texted me something. Hold on a second. Where did that go? I'll look at it in a second. I'm up on my computer. Okay. All right. So let me say this to that response to that, this text. I won't say who texted to me. But the bottom line is sin. There are many types of sin. The bottom line is just lump them all together. And whatever each person is guilty of, this applies to them. our biggest sins are sexual. That's why the scriptures always talk about lust, but there's different lusts, lust of eating. So just take this in generality. When I'm bringing up a certain type of sin, I'm not saying that's the only sin. It is sin, period. So whatever we are guilty of, understand the result is the same and the penalty is the same. If that sin is unto death, which 99.9% of all sins are unto death, nobody gets a pass. Sins we are guilty of. I use sexual immorality a lot because it is a big sin in this country. And it's one of the ones that the Most High mentions a lot in the scriptures. All right, so let me move on. Deuteronomy. Chapter 10. Back to that. And we are still in verse 12. To serve Yah thy Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul. To serve him with your all. Everything you have, understand that your purpose here is to please him and not him to please us. To keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is Yah, thy Elohim, the earth also with all that therein is. Only Yah had a delight in thy fathers, to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Yah chose us. And it's because he chose us that he's going to save some of us. He's not going to save all of Israel. He's going to save those that learn and do what he says to do. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. And be no more stiff-necked, be no more hard-headed. For Yah, your Elohim, is Elohim of Elohim. And he is master of masters, or rulers of rulers, a great Elohim, a mighty Elohim, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Can't bribe him. Can't, because of whatever your position is, don't mean anything to him. If he puts you in a position, then he might have respect of it. But he don't, you know, whatever we are on the earth, it's like I created it. I created you. I put everything here. I don't respect the president. I don't respect the high priest. I'm not a respecter of persons. If you sin against me, I will get you. If you transgress my laws, I don't care who you are. And I will bless whom I will bless, and I will curse whom I will curse. He does execute justice of the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger in giving him food and clothing, raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were in the land of Egypt. He wants us to understand that position. He wants us to remember and understand what we went through. We went through the same thing for a different reason in the captivity. In our slavery. And the further we get, you know, when we were in slavery, I think we were closer to the Most High than we ever have been. We would call out to him. We prayed to him, deliver us. As soon as we got delivered, we start forgetting. Each successive generation, further and further and further from the Most High, because we weren't doing what we were supposed to do, teaching our children. Even coming out of slavery, we wanted to be like our captors. That's what our problem has always been. Even when we were in Israel, we wanted to worship the Elohim, the God of the other nations, and not our own. We wanted to do what they did. In the Americas, you know, we wanted to be like the people who had taken this land. Here we are with kinky hair, woolly hair, and we want to process it and make it straight like them. We want to go by their standards. We want it to live by their laws. And then we'll say, oh, we can't live by the laws of the Most High because we're not in our own country. An excuse, because the Most High never gave Israel the right to obey the laws of men, except for where they agreed with his laws. If they were contrary to his laws, we weren't to keep them. We were to keep his commandments and his instructions. We were to be a light to the nation. That's why he said, you taught the nation to be wicked. You taught the nations to do evil. How did we do that? They were already doing evil, but we were given the statutes, laws, and commandments, our forefathers. And if they wouldn't do it, how would we expect other nations to do it? You don't even respect your own Elohim. You over here worshiping ours, mixing and matching. Talking about his laws and not keeping them. And in our country, if you don't worship our Elohim, we will kill you. But if we don't worship your Elohim, you just talk. Even in your own land. So we got nothing to be proud of in that regard. We're not doing what's required of us. Love, therefore, the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear Yah, thy Elohim. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise. When we walk before him and we do what he says, and he's blessing us, the nations will look and say, who is their Elohim? Why are these people so blessed? Why are they so righteous? Why don't we see them doing things that, you know, we got problems? We don't see them doing those things. They don't have those problems. That's not their testimony of us. Their testimony of us is that we're lawless, that we are extreme fornicators, that their women love to sleep around. Their men love to sleep around. This is what they say about us. That's their witness of us. Not that we love Elohim. It's not their witness of us. And so we have to change that. And the only way we can change that is to fear him and do what he says to do, walk in his ways. So that's what we become known for. He is thy praise, and he is thy Elohim that has done for thee these great and terrible things. Think it was a good thing for the Egyptians when the Most High killed all their firstborn, when he inflicted them with, you know, hemorrhoids and boils, when he caused the frogs and stuff to come up on the land and poison the land, when he turned all the water into blood. Those are not good things. Those are terrible things. We want the blessing, he said, but hey, if you don't do what I say do, all these things, everything I put on the Egyptians and more will come upon you. I'm going to turn your whole lifestyle around to where, you know what? What you do makes you sick. The food you eat will make you sick. What you drink, you will become consumed with it, and you'll drink too much. You'll eat too much. You'll have all these sicknesses that I didn't even put on the Egyptians. Plus the ones I put on the Egyptians. Because I chose you. I hold you to a higher standard. Verse 21 again. He is thy praise and he is thy Elohim that has done for thee great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 people, 70 people, and now Yah, thy Elohim, has made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Can't number you. So he tells us there what is required. Review this. Things that Yah requires of us. Fear him. Second, to learn of all his ways and walk in them. They're not going to come to you just pop into your mind. You have to be taught what his laws are and his ways are from his perspective, not ours, because the our perspective is very carnal. Yah has to put his spirit into a man that will speak for Yah. Not on his own accord, but what thus saith Yah. And this is how he sees these things, because Yah will put that in them so that they can project his ways. They can transmit his ways, his thoughts, his views, so that the people understand how to walk in them. Thirdly, to love him. Understand that he owns everything and he chose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And because he chose us, he has a high standard for us. You know, no man is going to choose a wife unless he's perverted, and there are people in the world like that, that he wants to sleep around on him, that he wants not to take care of business. Men will marry a wife that they have an expectation of, and they expect that she's going to behave a certain way. Learn to love Yah. What does he require? This is what makes him happy. This is what makes him mad. Serve Yah with all your heart and all your soul. What is it that you would have me to do, Yah? And whatever he puts on your heart to do, do it with all your heart. Don't just kind of do it. If he directs you to go someplace, if he sends somebody to tell you to do something, you have to be able to recognize whether Yah is talking to you or not. And then do it. Because Yah don't talk to everybody directly, mouth to mouth. He don't talk to everybody in dreams and in visions. Only his prophets, only his messengers. Today, we can have his spirit and be closed off to communication with Yah because we won't listen. Or we're afraid of what the people are going to think. That's why it says, don't fear any man, fear me. So serve Yah with all your heart and all your soul. Keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments of Yah. Go back into the word of Yah real quick. You know, this is what I have seen in Israel, amongst our people in the diaspora. Deuteronomy chapter 12. But see, we will say we keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. Somehow we just want to stop right there. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which I, Elohim of thy father, giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. We say we Israel, we say we keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. We don't never say we keep the statutes. Well, we say statutes, we don't never say it's judgments. Because see, it's judgments say what we are to do in any given situation. Anything that the Most High has spoken on and said, this is what you are to do, then all of a sudden we want to get literal. If you say somebody steal your sheep, you don't have sheep. But it's the spirit of the law. That's why it says the letter killeth. Spirit of the law that giveth life. So you look at the letter of the law. You look at what the Most High says in a given situation. What is he really trying to address there? Is it thievery? Is it covetousness? It don't matter if it's a sheep or whether it's a car or somebody's money. This is my judgment on it. This is what you shall do. you steal $10 from your neighbor or from your friend, the Most High says you should pay back four times that amount. If you want to make reconciliation, this is my judgment. Somebody steal your sheep, they should pay you four sheep. What is the intent of the law? Because, you know, people can start getting confused because, wait a minute, we don't have sheep. So am I adding to the scriptures? No, you're not adding to the scriptures. You are actually living the scriptures and the spirit of the law in your heart. What did he really intend by this? Things don't stay the same. We are not all farmers. We are not all, you know, living in Israel. Even if, you know, Israel still existed with us in it, we were supposed to be scattered into every nation. We were supposed to be put in every nation to teach those nations. The statutes, the laws, the commandments, and the judgments of the Most High. That's what he created Israel for. But we love the ways of those nations more than we love the Most High. We try to become and fit into those nations rather than keeping the standard of the Most High. So I hear my brothers say, hey, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. I have yet to hear any of them say we keep the judgment. No, we don't want to make that judgment. We don't want to make that right there because to enforce my judgment. Your judges are supposed to support and uphold my judgment. I have already ruled on this. I am the Supreme Court of the world, of creation. I say do this in this situation. Most of that's kind of extreme, don't you think? I didn't ask for your opinion. I told you to do it. Wipe out sin from among you. The vast majority of us know, all of us probably know, that we would be dead. Wouldn't be none of us here if we upheld those judgments. And that's what we're afraid of. But we have to do it, or else we're all lost. So then we want to think that because we're Israel, that the Most High, because he said he's going to return us to the land, there are going to be those of us that get it. Most High, though I was in sin and though I walked before you in sin, all have sinned, you made a way for me to come out of sin. That's the thing about Messiah. And the world and Israel still has not come to a proper understanding of Messiah and what he did. I made a way for you to come back into right relationship with me. I wiped your record clean. Not for you to go back and start building charges on yourself again. Not for you to go back and do that which you know is wrong. And my people, those that I chose to be my people above all the nations of the world, they are disobedient. This is the example to the world that Israel set, our forefathers set. And when we are in our captivity, and the Most High wakes us up to we're Israel, we get caught in this cycle of pride that we're the people of the book, but we're still not obeying the Most High. Still not doing what he said is required. Still don't want to take responsibility for our own actions. Still don't believe what he has said. I'm going to make a way for you out of no way. I'm going to come into the world. I'm going to allow my creation to kill me, that I might pay for your sins and wipe your record clean and let you start over. And I'm going to make this, give access to the world to this, to be my priesthood. You are supposed to be my representatives. And yet, You can't be obedient. You won't. So we have to get it right. He says, I will forgive your ignorant sin. You having a problem? You not walking before me perfectly? Let it be because it's ignorant. You're doing it ignorantly. You don't know. I can deal with that. But I'm not going to deal with your willful and blatant disobedience. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. No, Numbers chapter 15, I believe. Coming out of my memory. Where do I want to start here? Okay. Let's start in verse 22. Numbers chapter 15, verse 22. Starting in verse 22. And if you have error, an error is can be intentional because you just did it, or most of the time an error is not something that you were trying to do. You did it mistakenly. You have erred and not observed all these commandments which Yah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yah has commanded you by the hand of Moses from the day that Yah commanded Moses, and henceforth among your generations, generation after generation, whether you are in your own land or whether you're in the land of captivity, we are to observe these commandments. Then it shall be, if aught be committed by, for those of you who have not looked at this, underline it, by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one bullock for a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto Yah, which is his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of the goat for the offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them out of ignorance, for it is ignorance, to bring their offering of sacrifice made by fire unto Yah, and their sin offering before Yah for their ignorance. Yeah, you didn't know you were doing it. The day you learned about it, then you could bring a sacrifice and be atoned for it because it was ignorant. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourns among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat for the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sins ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance, before Yah, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You shall have one law for him that sins through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourns among them. But the soul that does ought presumptuously, willfully, knowingly, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah. That word reproach here means blaspheme. Because you did it knowingly. That's what blasphemy is. To disobey the Most High knowingly, that's blasphemy. That word in the scripture is reproach. If you look that word up, you will find that it means blasphemy. Blaspheme Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Cut off means to be killed out, to die, because he has despised the word of Yah and has broken his commandments, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Can't be forgiven. Now, he gives an example here. He gives a story of the man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. Shall be cut off. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him inward. They locked him up because it was not declared what should be done to him. And Yah said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. That's cut off. Shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. Because he knew that he was supposed to be doing anything on the Sabbath. But yet he's still going to willfully go out and pick up sticks. Now we look at that picking up sticks like, wow, he's going to die for that? He's going to die for that. We want to put our standards on things. The Most High don't play. You shall surely put him to death. Cut off. So our people didn't like that. And the world doesn't like that. That's harsh. I do terrible things and I don't play. I don't roll like that. You disobey me, it's a death sentence. It's not time out in the corner. This is ignorantly. It says your sin shall remain upon you. Got to keep driving this home. Because we don't walk before the Most High the way he says to walk before him. All we want is mercy. The Most High says, you know what? You were disobedient and you knew it. You knew what you were doing. You knew you weren't supposed to do that. Whatever it is, shall be cut off. Now, when Messiah came so that we could reconcile with the Most High. Romans chapter 3. The book of Romans chapter 3. Go down to about verse 25, 26, somewhere in there. Starting in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim, being justified freely by his grace. How did the Most High justify you by his grace? He allowed you to accept the sacrifice that Messiah made for us. The redemption that is in Yeshua HaMashiach. When Elohim has set forth to be, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment, a replacement through faith in his blood to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins, underline this, that are past. Your past sins. When you came to him, the Messiah, you confessed, you were supposed to repent and confess your sin. You can't confess what you don't know. What you don't know, you are doing in ignorance. The Most High has always allowed an atonement for ignorant sin. Now in Messiah, he's going to allow you to atone for your willful sin one time. And after that, you're not supposed to sin willfully anymore. You don't say, oh, I'm trying not to sin. You don't say, I'm struggling with this thing because you weren't through with it. You hadn't truly repented of it then. And had no understanding of the scriptures and what the Most High has declared. I'm going to let you come to me. I never allowed willful sin. I said your iniquity shall remain upon you. Now in Messiah, I'm going to allow all of your sins to be forgiven, willful and ignorant in Messiah one time. You're not going to use them as a sin ATM. So you're supposed to fear me, walk in all my ways, love me, to do. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to drive this home so we don't play with this thing. We don't try to take advantage of Messiah. We don't make excuses to walk in our weakness. Because it's not what the Most High did for us. The man that picked up six on the Sabbath day, he died. He was cut off. See, we don't see cut off as being, you're supposed to die. What does that mean? We're not Israel anymore. We're in timeout. We're on punishment. No. There are very few sins that the Most High doesn't kill for, that he doesn't order death for. And that's if you are in that ignorant sin, or if you are put into a situation as with the woman who is out in the wilderness, a man comes across her, he sleeps with her, the Most High is going to give her the credit that she screamed for help. He says, and that man will die, but she hasn't committed a sin that is worthy of death. She could have been complicit in the thing, but she gets the benefit of the doubt. Because surely she would have cried for help. Now, he says, if that same act happens in the city, and she don't cry out, then her and the man will die. It's not unfair, but his standard is his standard. So in the sense, the woman had no, when she was in the wilderness, as far as Most High is concerned, she would have hollered out. So we're going to give her the benefit of the doubt. She ain't going to die for that. Reverse that situation. You're in the city, you're around people. The same situation happens, and you don't scream out. The Most High said, you were complicit in that thing. So you both going to die. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26, starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, presumptuously, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, we know what sin is. We know what we're supposed to do, we're not supposed to do. What we don't know, the Most High will continue to forgive. You can confess that. But what you know is sin and you do it. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There ain't no blood for that. There ain't no sacrifice for that. There never was. The Most High didn't change. He said, I'm going to make a way for you, and I'm going to offer salvation to you. I'm going to make a way for you to get right with me so you can start over with a clean slate. That's through Messiah. But you're not going to just keep doing wickedness and knowing you're doing wickedness after you come to Messiah because you know you're doing it. He says, there ain't no blood for that. There's no sacrifice for that, just like there was no sacrifice for that under the law. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. In this case, unfavorable. You have sinned, and my judgment is, and has always been, you shall die. You shall be cut off. But he's not doing it all right now today like he did back then. I've appointed a day. And what you deserve is fiery indignation. You deserve the lake of fire, which shall devour the adversary. Because you're not my, you don't love me. You're not my child. You're not my friend. You are my enemy. Because you willfully disobeyed me. See, this is what people aren't being told. You willfully disobeyed me. There ain't no sacrifice for that. Not even Messiah. He's going to cover that. And he's not going to go to the Father and say, hey, one of your children just sinned. You know, you shouldn't kill them. No, he's going to go in and say, hey, they did that willfully. They knew what they were doing. I'm not advocating for them. They are against you. The world is teaching you that, hey, he's going to have mercy. No, he's not. He's not going to have mercy if you knew what you were doing. That's why I say we were taught in error. Our attitude toward the Most High was set in error so that we can continue doing what we were doing and saying, hey, we're trying. The Most High never said that you could try. Messiah never told anybody to try to be good. He speaks in absolute. Go and sin no more. He didn't tell the woman, hey, try to be good. He didn't tell the man that let me don't get that story wrong. There was a man that he healed, and he told him, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. Absolute. We want to say, oh, we're trying. Most High never gave us the option to try. You either do or you don't. He didn't chastise the man picking up sticks. He said, hey, you know better than that. Don't do it again. He said, you know better than that? Kill him. He didn't change. And he didn't change up under Messiah. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. We disobey him willfully. We are his adversary. He that despises Moses' law. So he's going to take us back into the law. Because a lot of people, you know, hate that I say in the Old Testament or I say in the Torah so much. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Or punishment, suppose you, do you deserve? Shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim, that has spit on what Messiah did for us? I came and I made a way for you to come back to the Most High with a clear conscience. I wiped your slate clean. And you just walked on what I did. You just spit on what I did for you. So how much more worse the punishment do you think you deserve? Under the law of Moses, it took two or three witnesses and they died. So what do you deserve? And it counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy and unclean thing and has done despite unto the spirit of grace. You have offended the spirit of grace. You have offended what the Most High did by extending grace to us and saying, come and get cleaned of all your charges, whether they were willful or unwillful, whether they were done ignorantly and you didn't confess anything that you didn't know. So everything you confessed, you knew. Now, he's not an unjust Elohim. If you sin, if we sin, we confess our sin, not our willful sin. See, people want to, I can confess this. No. The only sin that you could confess is ignorant sin when you found out. So you didn't know you were supposed to be doing X, Y, or Z, or you didn't know you should be doing X, Y, or Z. The day you found out about it, and the day you found out that you were found out and learned that you were in transgression, you could come and confess that. And he is true and just to forgive you. The only time that you can confess your willful sin is when you first come to Messiah. After you come to him, you can't do that anymore. That's a one-time thing. Because he says, go and sin no more. Worship me with your whole heart. Fear me and keep my commandments. This is how we're to serve him. Learn of his ways. The more you learn, the more you're held accountable. So the Most High has never, ever forgiven but the one time under grace, under Messiah, willful sin. And we have to understand this and accept it and walk in his ways. Anybody else, how to serve the Most High if you're not doing it? If you're still walking in transgression, if you're still struggling, because the Most High don't allow that. He does not allow that. That is a lie taught by Christianity, still taught in the camp. And because we have a sinful nature and we don't really want to stop certain things because we enjoy them, and it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's a transgression, the Most High don't forgive that. And we all want to be like David. Blessed is the man whom Yah will not impute his sins against him. What Yah is looking for today is when you recognize that you are in transgression, when you recognize that you have been serving in error, that you have been living by a lie, a lie that some man told you that you took as truth. It don't matter whether he was the preacher in the pulpit or whether he was a supposedly priest of Israel. You bit it and ate it. And you lived by it. It became part of your core values. Core values are hard to break. They're hard to correct when they are done, when they are in error. Just don't want to believe that. No, the Most High can't be like that way. All I got to do is confess this thing, and he said he would forgive me. You are believing the scriptures in error. We're taught in error. And if you understand that you were in error, then get on your knees before the Most High and ask him to forgive you. And he might. He might not. But you better do what he said to do from that time forward. You can't say, you know what, I have realized that I was in error and I was taught wrong. And then go back to doing what you were doing, struggling with what you were struggling with. That struggle should be over. I'm going to live before you the way you said to live before you. I'm going to fear. I fear the lake. I fear you. I fear your judgment. I'm going to do right. I'm going to serve you the way you said to serve you. I'm going to do what you said you require. We got to understand that we can't walk in this way. We can't continue walking in sin and saying we're trying to get out of it, because the Most High don't play that. He don't. Never has. Never will. That is us wanting to continue doing what we're doing and then wanting him to be forgiving. He doesn't do that. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to serve Yah, then you're going to fear him. You're going to learn his ways and walk in his all his ways. You will learn to love him as you learn his ways, that he is just, that he is righteous, that he don't have a double standard, that he can forgive whomever he wants to forgive. And if he don't want to forgive you, he don't have to. Why? Because we have all fallen. We have all been fed lies. Me included. Yah had to show me this because he said, tell them. And I know a lot of people may get tired of hearing this because this is what Yah said to say. Can't say otherwise. We can't move on in our relationship with Yah if we are still struggling with sin. If we're still struggling in walking in his ways, how do you go on to perfection? Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you on this your day. As your people, Father, as your children. Father, if we are walking in disobedience, forgive us, Father, for many of us were taught in error. Many of us were never taught how to serve you. Many of us were never taught what you require. If we were taught it, Father, and we chose not to do it, I'm not speaking for those, Father, because they are truly walking in disobedience, and they know that they're walking in disobedience. But I'm speaking for those, Father, who have errors, who were taught in error. Father, forgive their error and this ignorance towards your word and who you are and how your ways are. But let it count as a witness to them that have heard it today. A witness against them if they disobey. Because you are the Elohim of all the world and all creation. These are your ways. These are your requirements. And we can't take advantage of what you put in place for our salvation. Sit on what Messiah did. Father, for all of us who sit on what he did, who walked on what he did as and treated as something unholy, surely we did it in ignorance. Forgive us. Let us from this day forward walk according to your ways, according to your standards, according to your judgment. Remove the spirit of error from us. Remove the spirit of double standards from us. Put into our hearts the fear of you. Give us an understanding of the lake and what you say we deserve worse than just being killed. Let them understand that you're going to wake us all up. You're going to give all of us eternal life, good and bad, eternal life. And all those who are bad, you're going to throw into the lake and they have eternal life. They cannot die. But they can feel that pain of that fire. Forever. Let them understand that you're not creating a fire that is going to burn us up. You're creating a fire and giving us a nature that is eternal. And this fire will torture us. Forever. We don't go into the lake and burn up. He says, now you deserve to be tortured forever. That's your punishment. That's what you deserve. At least up under the law of Moses, they lost their life and they just went unconscious. And I'm able to resurrect them and give them eternal life according to their work. Maybe they only sin once. But it's up to me whether I forgive them or not. Messiah, you should know better. You should do better. So, Father, help us. Help us to get a right mentality towards you. Help us to get a healthy reverence and respect for you, that we would walk in your ways from this time forward in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Now I pray that this helps someone, because the church has lied to us. Even Israel, believing that they're teaching not what the church is teaching, has lied to us. This is what's in the word of the Most High. Thus saith Yah, not what thus saith Brother Miles. Not my opinion. I pray that I have walked you through this thing clearly enough where you will not error again. And if you know that you have walked in error, you should be on your face before the Most High. You should be pleading with him, please, 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 please. Help not this error against me. Show me this thing, and I was terrified. I was guilty of this thing because I was taught like everyone else. All you got to do is confess your sins, and he is true and just to forgive you. When the Most High told me to go and teach the people, he taught me differently. Showed me the error of my way. And I won't know if the Most High will forgive me. I won't know that until I go before his judgment throne. But I don't willfully sin. I don't knowingly sin. I don't do something that I know is wrong. I could still be doing ignorant sin. And the day Yah shows it to me, I will confess it and turn away from it and not do it anymore because I understand the ramifications of it. I understand how he's operating in this thing. He has shown it to me and told me to tell you. Don't get mad at me, because I've had people to get mad at me. Because they didn't want to hear this. That's on them. And, you know, tell you the truth, I could care less. Got to be fearful for your salvation. You got to do what the Most High has said to do and walk in his ways, not in your ways. And don't try to do it. He don't give us the option to try. When that temptation comes into your mind, kill it. When that old man tries to rear up his head, that old you, kill it. If the Most High says that if you are in this situation and this has happened, this is my judgment, you don't get to overrule that. We can't keep his standards because we don't even have provisions to keep those standards concerning keeping his judgment because we won't do it. We make the excuse, oh, we're in the land of our captivity. We're in the land of the enemy. We can't. Most High says, when Daniel, Joseph, or any of my other servants were in captivity, and that's most of the time, they kept my statutes, my laws, my commandments, and my judgments. And they did not break them even to the law of the land, even unto death. King Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel, hey, I made a law. My men tricked me into making this law, but you have broken it, and I got to enforce it. So I'm going to throw you in this lion's den, and may your Elohim deliver you. Because you have transgressed my law. And my people won't respect me if I knowingly let you transgress my law. So I'm going to throw you in this den, and I'm going to go up here and fast for you. I'm going to pray for you that your Elohim delivers you. And Elohim delivered Daniel because he was faithful. No, King Nebuchadnezzar, my Elohim said, I ain't to bow down to nothing and no one, and I'm not bowing down to the statue of you. Even though it's the law of the land, I'm not doing it. All our examples in the scriptures show us that we keep the laws of the Most High no matter where we're at in the world. And we don't do it because we don't want to do it. Or we don't know to do it. But that which we know, we have to keep. That which we are ignorant of, when we learn it, then we have to do it. This is acceptable with him. He is not unrighteous. He don't have a double standard. You're going to obey me or you're not. And if you don't obey me, I got something for you. And because you're not seeing it right away, then you think that I'm merciful and I'm kind and I'm loving and I'm forgiving. No, I made a vehicle for that. I set grace for that. and I extended the scepter to you one time. When I should have been telling the angels to fall on you and kill you, I pardoned you. And I made a way for you to be pardoned. And then you're going to turn around and do the same thing? I will not be mocked. So understand the Most High. Serve him as he has required, what he requires. And he don't just require this for Israel. Israel was supposed to teach these same things to the nation. But if we ain't doing it, how are we going to teach them anything? We teach them to be wicked. We teach them to be disobedient. If we won't obey our own Elohim, why should they obey him? So we are to be the example. We are to be the teachers. We cannot be teaching falsehoods. We cannot be living double standards, double lives, talking about the statutes, laws, commandments, and judgments of the Most High, and walking contrary to them, saying we can't do it. Then how the hell do we expect everybody else to do it? Fear Yah, saints, and keep his commandments. May Yah bless you on the Shabbat. May you go and spend time with him. If you need to repent, repent. Take this time to lay down before the Most High and ask his forgiveness from the bottom of your heart. I can't tell you if Yah will forgive you. I can't tell you if Yah forgave me or is going to forgive me. I can only tell you what he has told me to tell you. I can only do what I know to do. And I can't make anybody else do anything. I can only tell you. Yah has to give you the unction and the understanding to do it. Peace and blessings, and enjoy the rest of your day. Shalom.
Forever, sing his praise, which dwells. Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
All right, amen.
Shalom, happy Sabbath.
Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath to you all. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will meet on this evening to start reviewing the document that we talked about on Thursday.
Yes.
So I will see you guys this evening for those of you that are participating.
Amen.
All right. Peace and blessings. Shalom.
Shalom.